Don't miss a minute of Ruined It's for Breakfast on our catch-up podcast for Rossdale Homes. Because trust is a must. Rossdalehomes.com.au 104.7 Triple M.
Oh, it's an exciting Thursday. There's so much happening in the town of Adelaide, Roo. Good morning. We had a good day yesterday at the V8 Supercars lunch at Carbine Club.
Yeah, we did. They're all pumped and ready to go for the Clipsil, the start of the season, and haven't done much practice. I think there's a bit of anticipation in the air about who's going to be fast and who's not going to be. And they're all pumped and ready to go. They love this race.
Yeah, women's sport, it's just in the headlines everywhere. And now we've got a V8 supercar driver. Silvana Di Silvestro has come from Switzerland. First full-time V8 supercar driver.
Yeah, looking forward to that. She got a pretty good runs on the board, has she, over in Switzerland?
Yeah, has raced in the US. Fast cars, real fast cars. Yeah. So pretty good pedigree.
So they get up to high 200s down the straight here at Clipsal.
Yep.
NASCAR, 390 km/h an hour, they said, in a big circle.
I heard that yesterday.
Even the drivers, you could sense that that's not for me.
No.
You know, that was too fast for them.
Amazing.
It is a bloody high top speed.
Mm.
Anyway. We won't be doing that, will we?
No.
Can't even do 110 anymore.
No. Maybe. We're off to Port Lincoln today, by the way.
Yep.
Tomorrow's the Port Lincoln Cup, so my life is in your hands. Have you booked the tickets? Have you done everything?
We're all good, Dits. Right. We are all good. Very safe.
Have I got the suite?
You got the suite.
Yeah. The spa.
Got the massage teed up tomorrow.
Nice.
Got the pro punter in your corner.
Nice. You're not doing the massage, are you?
No. And you are sleeping with Robert, Dippy and Domenico.
Get out.
You and Dipper.
Oh, God. Yeah, thanks for that. Righto, what's coming up on the show today?
I want to get Roger Rashid on today. I'm sick of these. How did Bernard Tomic retire of heat stroke at 27?
Tell me.
It's just annoying.
They have to go. Get them off the tour. Just retire. Go and do something else.
Can they live here but not call them Australians?
Yep.
Can we do that?
Yep. Please represent someone else. And don't play Davis Cup for us.
Kyrgios told a spectator to shut the F up.
Yeah.
just continues to just give us material and content. And
Roo, I'm sorry to live in the past and be old-fashioned, but, you know, Ken Rosewell, John Newcomb, Rod Laver, all absolute gentlemen. These lads are single-handedly, bringing this sport down. We're always known for our great tennis players, and they're good fellas and gentlemen.
Pat Rafter.
You know, these blokes are a pain. They really are. Get rid of them. Get them off the tour.
Mick Malloy will be on later. He'll give us
a bit to say on it as well.
Yeah, we'll cover everything.
Yeah, all right. It's Ruined Dits here. Thanks to Rossdale Homes on a Thursday morning.
Ruined Dits for Breakfast. 104.7 Triple M.
What's making news around the world?
Well, our country towns are in trouble, Dits. That's what's making news. There's a story in the paper today about Whyalla, but Whyalla has had some tough times, we know that, with Arium and One Steel and things that are going up around that neck of the woods. But it's not just there. I reckon I've been going around the SA and even a bit of Victoria in the caravan and my little trips at the end of the year.
Leyland Brothers, yeah.
One thing you do notice is SA country towns are either holding or shrinking. And there's lots of empty shops. But then you go across the border to Victoria and all their country towns are growing. It's chalk and cheese.
Really?
It's very sad.
So it's like black and white. You can notice
black
the
and
difference.
White. And you can look at Whyalla, you can look at Port Augusta, you can look at Wakery, Riverland towns.
Yeah.
There's lots of shops shut. It's very sad in the main streets. And then we went down to Mount Gambier, which is our biggest regional town, I think, in South Australia. It looked good. I actually thought it looked really good, and we had a bloke on our table who runs a big business down in Mount Gambier yesterday, and he said, look, it's going okay. The farmers are good, but the town is okay. But then you go across the border to a place like Warrnambool, and it's growing. It's gone from, 20-odd thousand to 34,000. It's expanding.
And do you know the reason for it?
Well, it's because Melbourne's so big and people are selling their houses out of Melbourne and everything and moving to regional towns and buying cheaper houses.
Okay.
Getting a good place. Mildura used to be the same as or similar to Mount Gambier 20 years ago. Mildura's now got 70,000 people in surrounding areas. It's like a beast. So that's just one thing, that's is happening. It's reality. The story about Wyala is that people were fighting and working together and coming together and getting through the tough period. But it is a clear observation when you're travelling around the countryside.
Towns like Wyala, though, they have always been reliant on one industry, haven't they?
But there's not one single SA country town that is growing.
No.
Not one.
All right.
Unless you call Mount Barker country town, and they wouldn't probably like that.
Well, it was, though.
Yeah.
No, but it was at one time.
Well, that's the only place that's growing
because
It's, you know, close to Adelaide.
In fact, they say it's going to triple in size.
Yes, it
that's
is.
That's growth.
But that's got nothing to do with the fact that it's all to do with people from Adelaide going there.
Yeah, there's no industry there that's making it happen.
Yep.
Yeah.
But anyway.
No, that's sad.
It is sad.
Hey, something that I've seen all around the world but doesn't happen here, and it's in the paper today, is turning left on a red light. They're suggesting it's going to happen. It's going to come here to Adelaide. Now,
you see in a lot of places, turn left with care.
Yeah, no, if you're sitting on a red light, a left arrow, and if there's nothing around, nothing coming, you're allowed to go.
If there's a red arrow, an arrow left that's red?
Yes, that's what I'm saying. You're sitting at a red light.
Or just the red light, the plain red light.
Both. If there's just the plain red light in front
plain
of you.
Plain red light.
Plain red light in front of you. You're right.
Mm.
And there's no traffic and no pedestrians. You're allowed to turn left.
As long as you've got to give way to everyone.
Yep. So you've got to check all around you.
You can't just turn
left. Just go for it. No, you've got to make sure there's nothing coming.
Yep.
But you're within your rights to go. And they actually say that it eases congestion. I don't know how, but
if you can go when there's no one coming, then there's less cars at the lights.
Oh, yeah. I suppose there would be, yeah.
Jesus, congestion.
And it does.
Until you turn left when you're not meant to and you run straight into a car doing about 80 k's coming from the
that
other
doesn't
direction.
Work. No, that doesn't
that
help.
That doesn't ease congestion.
No.
So what is this happening?
But it happens everywhere. It happens everywhere.
Why does it happen here?
Well, this is what we're talking about, Roo. Apparently.
When are you bringing that in?
I'm working on it now. I just got to sort out whether it's the left light or the one in front of you first.
Otherwise, there could be a few pedestrians getting run over.
Yeah. I'll get back to you. Let me work on it.
Okay.
Let's get my pen and paper out now, my crayons, and I'll sort it out. Now, this is a big, big story, and we're going to follow this later on this morning. Foreign workers. Now, Roo, I'll go out on a limb here, and I'm going to say Pauline Hanson suggested this years ago, and she was called a monster. And as you know, she always courts controversy. Whenever Pauline Hanson speaks, she divides the nation.
She's an easy target.
Well, now Peter Dutton, our immigration minister, is saying the exact same thing. So will he be hung, drawn and quartered as well?
The man they're saying could be the Liberals' next prime minister.
Yes. So what he's saying is that the likes of McDonald's, Hungry Jack's, all the fast food outlets, KFC, can no longer sponsor overseas workers and bring them
in. 457 visas?
Yeah. And the reason being, he said, well, our kids need these jobs. Our teenagers and people at school and university, they should be getting these jobs first.
Well, our youth unemployment is rising.
Now, as I said to you, and correct me if I'm wrong, Pauline Hanson said this a long, long time ago. This has always been one of her big things. Let our kids get the jobs first.
But shouldn't we be only bringing people in on those visas if we haven't got people here that can do the same job?
Correct. It should be just when there's a shortage.
Yep.
In some industries, we have shortages.
Regional areas where there's shortages, like for mining booms and stuff like that.
And as you know, we bring in doctors, for example. A lot of doctors
chefs,
come from overseas.
All sorts of stuff.
And they go to our country areas.
Yep.
No worries about that.
Mm-hmm.
But I agree with this. Why should foreigners...
I haven't got a problem with this.
...get our jobs... For that? And
is she talking more about permanent bringing in more immigrants though?
Yeah, but I think it's a blanket thing she talks about. Just employer, give our people here the jobs first. Mm. And what is wrong with that?
Yeah.
Look, I always believe we need to have a social conscience through. If there's an area in the world that's in trouble, we should help as everyone else should and bring those people in. I've got no worries about resettlement and helping, you know, war-torn countries.
Yep.
But I also agree with Pauline Hanson.
Look after our own first.
Give our kids the jobs.
Yep. Well, this will fire a few people up, but I think a lot of people will agree with it. I'm on board, Ditz. I think we don't need any 457 visa people if we've kids can't get a job.
That makes
perfect sense.
Triple M.
Mondays and Thursdays at this time, we talk to Mick Malloy. Good morning,
boys.
Mick.
G'day, Mickey.
How are we? Yeah, given recent good. Events, I think it's time for a bit of this.
Harden up.
I'm talking, of course, about Bernard Thomas. He's had to pull out of Acapulco. He's had to pull out of a tennis match, one set in Acapulco, because it was 27 degrees.
It's hot, isn't it?
It was unbearable. That's how they advertise Acapulco, by the way. It's 27 degrees every day. I have it on good authority. It's going to be 27 today in Adelaide. So everyone, tools down, go home. You have had enough.
Hey, Mick, you'd be happy to hear his sister, Bernard's sister, is playing in the Clare Valley over here at the moment in the tennis tournament. It was 37.
Oh, what?
And she won.
Yep,
she's through to the second round.
Oh, she had an out-of-body experience. It was that hot. I don't know what Bernard Tomic wants. He wants to be drinking out of a pineapple between games. I mean, what do you think you're doing? You're going to Acapulco. The only other time he's complained about the heat was in a spa full of strippers, and he had to go, oh, can we turn it down?
Turn it down. I've had enough.
Hey, the guy comes from the Gold Coast.
Yeah.
It's 27 degrees every day. It's not like he had to acclimatise. It's not like he's coming from Finland and he went, oh, geez, this is a bit of a turn up. Oh, no, how do I get on with this? Yeah. It's 27 degrees, Bernard. Mm. You're playing tennis, Bernard. You're in shorts. It's a summer game, Bernard. You giant knob.
Yeah, he's playing indoor European tour from now on.
But think of all the, even lay down Sally's going, nah, you can't do that, you know.
I haven't heard of her for a while.
Oh, well, lay down Sally, could the rower from the
Yeah, she was remember her.
Mick, she was
about halfway in and went, oh, bugger this.
She was gutsy, wasn't she?
That was a gutsy finish.
That was one of the greatest bits of poor sportsmanship teammanship of all time, that one.
Well, Bernard Tomic takes his place among the Panther of Greats. Think of all the great sport. You're no stranger yourself, but there's been a lot of courageous acts in the sporting arena, and that's how you get remembered. Yeah. Do you remember it was the Olympic gymnast who was doing the rings routine and he busted his leg.
Oh,
and he's got a dismount.
Yeah.
And I went, oh, I'm going to stay around and watch this.
Yeah, I know.
And he had a broken leg and he went up, he did the rings and he spun three times.
Oh,
and
he's
had to dismount, stick the arms out and smile.
Yeah.
And he's gone, ta-da! Yeah. Now, I've seen a bloke with gritted teeth before, but that is one of the greats.
You know what
I remember Michael Schumacher, right? I think he was driving for Ferrari at the time, came in, he was in the pits, his car caught fire, and he still rejoined the race. How hot do you reckon that was, Bernie? You know what I'm saying? This is what people do. Walking off the court because it's 27 degrees in Acapulco. You're wearing shorts. What is wrong with you? Dean Jones made 200 in Bangalore with the squirts.
Gillian Rolton. Gillian Rolton rang. What did she ride with a broken collarbone
and broken leg?
And a broken leg.
That's right. Well, one of the Australian equestrians, Roycroft. Yeah. I think back in the day, he had a busted collarbone.
Yep.
Mm.
And they fished him out of hospital. And he went through and helped Australia get a medal.
I think they put him on a Shetland.
But anyone else you want to harden up?
Bernie's enough. Bernie's enough.
Mick, it's up there. It reminds me, yes. You've just set the scene. It reminds me of that fella in the Holy Grail when they're having the duel. And he chops his arm off. And
we are the Knights of Knee.
And then
it's just a flesh wound.
That's right. And he chops the other arm off.
I mean, Bernard Tomic should take a leaf out of that guy's book.
Come on, it's only a flesh wound. Come on.
Harden up.
Actually, I'll tell you who might have to harden up this weekend. Some of the fringe people when they run into the Clipsal people in the city in Highley Street. Yeah.
Hey, that's always one of the great features, and I love going to the Adelaide Fringe, which is one of the great festivals. But it's like oil and water. You've got two marauding groups. Some who are kind of hippie, very young and free, and others who are walking around wearing Holden jackets, who quite frankly would like to beat you up. But it is great. Can I mention, you mentioned the Fringe, can I do a quick plug for a mate of mine? Limo, I think his show came and went. I think made its mark clearly on the Adelaide psyche. Mm. Lawrence Mooney will be over there soon.
The Moon Man.
Yep. But I made him on. This isn't comedy expressly. This is part of the Fringe Festival. It's called The Baby Farmer. And if you want to see some out there, moody, dark theatre, that's avant-garde, experimental, but bloody cutting edge. This is the one for you. A confronting, ambitious work by some of our most bizarre performers, the Laudanum Project. You want to go along the Baby Farmer, 26th of October, if you've got an appetite for that kind of stuff. Most of it would go over your head, Drew.
Yeah, how many concussions did you have?
A fair few.
Fair few.
So don't even bother with this.
No.
But if you're into the fringe, the Baby Farmer will pay you in spades.
Right, 6th of March to 11th of March.
Can I just read the PA? It says, shocked audiences combining the darkest concepts, which is good, alongside the unsettling performances of Victorian artist Chloe. This is just fantastic.
That's Lawrence Mooney's review. 5-star jerk.
Say no more.
Yeah. The Baby Farmer. Good on you guys.
Thank you, Mick.
Yeah, Mick Malloy, the one and only.
Ruin Tits for Breakfast on 104.7 Triple M.
104.7 Adelaide's Triple M. Ruin Tits for Breakfast. Roo, I am sick and tired of reading about these two blokes. I'm done. They shouldn't be representing Australia. Ooh. We're talking about Tomic and Kyrgios.
What else can we say? Seriously, I think nothing surprises really anymore.
Well, what Tomic did yesterday overseas, he should actually be banned from the tour.
For
being pathetic and not trying and not giving your all, which is what the professional code is all about. And as far as our Davis Cup team goes, I hope Leighton Hewitt just doesn't pick these blokes. I'd rather play a couple of young lads. Okay, we're going to lose for a while. I'd rather have young lads that want to play for Australia and have a crack.
Mm.
Let's go to our expert tennis coach, Roger Rashid. Rog, good morning.
Morning, Roo Dits. How are you?
Is there more to this or not? I mean, how can you retire with heat exhaustion at 27 degrees?
Look, Acapulco is one of my favourite destinations throughout the year. It's the humidity would have been probably in the 80s, 90s. It's actually really... But in saying that, I mean, hey, we're elite athletes. It's a great event. Bernie, he struggles in the heat anyway. Why would you enter yourself in that tournament? That's the first thing I would actually ask.
Was it the same for his opponent, or did he have different temperature?
Yeah, he played... I'm not sticking up for him at all.
I just wanted to make something clear.
Don't get me... he played Donald Young, who's not... He hasn't got the biggest capacity either. So problem with it is that when you pull out of an event, I think that day should be you shouldn't actually be able to compete that whole day just for your general well-being.
Mm.
For Bernie to go on 2 hours later and play doubles is almost Christ. Like, that's shocking. That's laughing at the tournament. It shouldn't happen.
Is it like a bloke on an AFL field going off on a stretcher in the first or second quarter and then coming back onto the field in the third quarter, which has been done before?
Yeah, exactly. Which has been done before. You'd think, oh, hang on. I would have thought just caution would be played, especially when you talk heat, because it's obviously body, it's a body conditioning that you need to look after. The problem I have with Bernie, he's lost, it's now, I think, 4 or 5 first rounds this year, so he's spiraling out of control. He's 41, 42 in the world. It doesn't get any better for him coming into the last two hard court match tournaments before the clay court season. He's got some issues off the court. He needs to get with a psychologist. He needs to get with someone that can actually help him in his life, not tennis, his life, because he's playing tennis just to keep him week to week in a safe place, in my opinion.
Roger.
And that's where the issue is.
If you go off with heat exhaustion, you can't recover in 2 hours. It's impossible. If you go off with heat exhaustion and you haven't actually got it, you can recover and play in a couple of hours. And that's what's happened with him. The same as if you
heat
go off on a stretcher in the first half and you properly should be on a stretch, you can't come back on in the second half. You only come back on in the second half of a footy game if you shouldn't have went on the stretcher in the first place, which in both circumstances means it's in your mind.
No, 100%. Well, he's got no capacity in the mind. We've seen that. He doesn't have the ability to dig deep. And those conditions expose you when you walk onto the court. It's not good. It's not weak. I heard you talk about Leighton. Leighton definitely, I think, has virtually, I think he's had enough of Bernie. He tried to help Bernie there. He tried to watch his matches get on the practice court. When he sort of stuck his nose up in Davis Cup just a couple of weeks ago and said, I'm not playing because my sister's not getting funding from Tennis Australia.
That was it.
I think it's pretty much, hasn't closed the door, but it's, well, you'd have to do a pretty big hip and shoulder to get through it, I think, if you're Bernie at the moment. So,
what about Kyrgios?
I don't think for the rest of the year.
Where's Kyrgios at?
Well, he's competing. He's a different beast. He actually competes. I mean, he was a semi-finalist last week trying to defend his title in Paris. He won through in his match in Acapulco. He gets on the court, he competes, and he actually...
Most of the time
he competes when he feels like it. Hitting the ball between my legs and a crucial point and just walking around and not returning serve. He competes when he feels like it, Rog.
That's talent. No,
see, this is the problem. No. We've got coaches like in charge of the players.
They're actually different in categories. Nick's actually competing for the majority, right? He's putting in there. He's getting on the practice court. He's doing that. Bernard, he's not getting on the practice court. He's got issues off the court. There's a lot going on in his head. If there was no week-to-week place for Bernard Tomic to go right now, I would think you'd have to sort of think, where is this kid going to be at? Where would he be safe? Because he doesn't understand himself.
Rog, the tour isn't some child-minding centre. We're talking about the World Professional Tour. They've got to go to him and say, sorry, but don't enter our tournaments now. Go away and get your help you need and sort it out.
The tour is just a governing body. They don't control you. It's like the AFL.
They set the rules.
Get on the oval.
They set the rules. Rog, if you don't try, there are rules in place to you can be banned from the tour. No doubt about that.
No, if you don't try, 100%, and they've fined people for not trying. Now, I'm saying that the tour needs to have a strong position where you actually can't play again.
Yeah, correct. Yeah. All right, thanks for joining us, Rog. We will watch this with interest as it goes on, but I'm expecting the tour to ban him. Seriously, I really am. This is Atomic, by the way, but we'll see what happens. Thanks, Rog. Roger Rashid there.
See you, Rog.
And, Roy, your point was absolutely spot on. You know, if you go off with exhaustion, you're actually in a hospital on the drip, aren't you? You're on a drip.
Yeah, it just highlights heat the fact exhaustion. That it's mental.
Yeah.
Ruined Dits for Breakfast. 104.7 Triple M.
Hey, speaking of which, let's head to the country, shall we?
Yes.
I told you yesterday, Roy, I love these ads.
What, New Zealand's the country, is it?
No, but Zealand. Okay. Country New Zealand we're heading
that's
to.
Better.
Yep. Yeah, Jeff Wallace is a farmer, and I'll just repeat it again because he put in a couple of great ads in the paper looking for some workers.
Yep.
20 hours a week to feed bulls, must be a non-smoker, wear his hat with the peak to the front.
Fair enough.
And be capable of wearing his pants around his ass, not his knees.
Good stuff.
Also needs to be able to divorce himself from his phone for more than 2 hours at a time. This is fantastic. Let's get him on. Jeff Wallace, good morning.
Good morning, sir.
Hey, now, whereabouts are you in New
Don't
Zealand?
Don't call him sir, Jeff. Not worthy.
Whereabouts are you in New Zealand, Jeff? Where's your farm?
We're about halfway down the South Island at a small town called Waimate.
Waimate? Right. And what happens down there? What sort of farming is it?
Oh, well, we're mainly dairy around here, but there's a little bit of arable and the odd bull farmer like myself.
Yeah?
What's a bull? What do you mean by a bull farmer?
Well, we just raise bull calves to 2 years old and sell them off. I think a few of them go to Mr. Trump's land as burgers.
Yeah. So you're making money out of Trump. Okay. And, now, what was the response to your ads? How did it go?
Well, I was quite surprised, actually. We had quite a range. We had 15 and 16-year-olds school leavers to young women to a couple of really experienced farm managers. So I'm sure we're going to get a couple of people out of the applicants.
Yeah. And did you do this just because you're sick to death of the average worker that's sort of been applying for jobs that were, a bit average and a bit lazy? Is that what you wrote this ad for?
That's exactly right. Well, about a year and a half ago, we put an ad in for a labourer, and just about every unemployed person who I believe the Social Security Department they must have a law that everyone has to apply for any local job to come up. So I had a continual stream of people that I would describe as dropkicks arrived, and I didn't really want to be there, but they sort of had to be.
Yeah. Well, put that in your next ad. Put that. No drop kicks.
Yeah.
So tell me a bit more about why Maddie. I think I've said that correctly. What's the local pub or what do you do on a weekend down there?
Oh, well, a lot of people play rugby and at this time of year and make sure that we can continually beat your team over there.
Yeah, you're pretty good at it.
Yeah, you've made a lifetime out of that.
No, so you're going to go with the experienced, proven older worker, or are you going to give a young punk a go that looks like he's got a bit of go in him?
Well, I'll probably go for a bit younger. Most of my staff, well, three of my staff are actually over 70. And I actually think that they achieve just as much as a young person because they might be a bit slower, but they're certainly a lot more cunning and and they might turn up with a cell phone, but they don't know how to text, and they leave the bloody phone in the car because they're scared that the wife might ring them and ask them to go shopping,
yeah,
or the
exactly.
daughter might ring them and ask them to exactly. babysit or something.
Are any of these 70-year-olds due for long service leave at any stage or not?
Well, they get to the stage where they get that tired that all they want to do is just lie under a tree. So, you know, they've got to be...
A few afternoon naps.
good hey, on Jeff, you, mate. Thanks for talking to us, Jeff. And we'd love to come and visit you one time. We'll come down and have one of those Sav Blancs down your way.
There you go. Yeah, we've got plenty of that down here.
Righto. Good on you, mate. Jeff. Well done. Thanks for talking
good on
to
you,
us.
Jeff.
Cheers.
There he is,
bye-bye.
Jeff Wallace.
Oh, good work for Jeff.
Yeah, what a character,
He'd be a
eh?
Good fella.
He would be a good boss.
Ruined Dits for Breakfast on 104.7 Triple M. 104.7 Triple M. The hard-hitting topics, the big issues.
Well, not really, but we are going deep inside the female psyche.
Ruined Dits Angels.
Good morning, Angels.
Good morning, Ruined Dits.
We've got Mel the Button Pusher this morning. We've got Alice the Wag, and we've got Patsy.
Good morning.
Catherine, how are you?
Very good, thank
All
you.
All right, Patsy from AbFab. Now, Rue, I want to direct this first one to you, actually. And I just
Pardon?
Want the, I just want the angels to listen in, all right?
Okay.
I'm just trying to educate them and teach them here. Does your wife just clean up everything off the bench at home? So what I'm talking about here is I get home and I put my car keys on the bench, maybe my wallet, whatever else, credit card, whatever, and you come back an hour later and I have to go somewhere. You go, where are my bloody keys?
Yep.
Obsessed with cleaning up. And cannot leave these things where they are. And you might say, well, that's not that annoying. It actually is. And then you're late and you're frantic. And then I ring her and say, where did you put my keys? Well, she's not answering her phone. It's on silent.
Yes.
So I can't get hold of her. And I'm running around frantically now late for something because when I eventually find them and I say, why did you put them in the top drawer? I was just tidying up.
I'm happy for it to clean, obviously, Dits, and we all should do that. But when they pick stuff up and put stuff in places where it shouldn't be, which is what you're talking about, that really peeves me off.
Well, you know, this morning at 4:30 in the morning when I'm trying to come in here, the remote control isn't where the remote control is meant to be, so I actually can't get out our gates.
That's not very handy, is it?
Nah, so I thought, what, do I take a long run up and try and, you know, get the car over the gates? What do I do here?
I'm literally picturing you, like, laying on top of the gate and then, like, it just starts opening and you're just, like, hanging off the edge of it.
So, ladies, what is this obsession?
Nick.
Kath?
I'm definitely not obsessed with cleaning. In fact, I've actually got the opposite because of kids. They just leave mess everywhere. And last night my partner got home and he went, I can't even cut my food up because the whole bench was full of stuff. The table's full of homework. My tax, there's papers everywhere. So it's actually the opposite.
Do you move keys and things?
But no, I don't touch keys, but we have a spot. So there's two spots. So one is the remotes. There's always a spare remote and a spare set of keys.
Yes.
So
thank
for that
God
reason,
for that, I can't stand things not getting put back in their place. You need a spot
for
your remotes,
We have a spot for
keys,
remotes and keys. So
shoes,
that if they're not where you put them, that's where they
we've
go.
We've got a spot as well. And I go to that spot and they're not there.
You need some discipline in your house, dude.
Well. I think that's lovely that Kate's tidying up. We should have more women tidying up.
So how am I meant to get to work in the morning? What am I walking from Harndorf, am I?
Yeah, the night before, Dits, you should get your keys and say, Kate, where's the keys I put there?
No, leave them where they meant. Just leave them. Don't touch them. Now, Alice the Wag, does this happen in your house?
No, because I'm not really good at cleaning. But why don't you just leave them in a spot where she won't feel the need
like
to tidy them from?
Like, doesn't matter where I put them. They
top
get
drawer,
moved.
What about your top drawer by your bed, inside, like where your bed
That's
is?
Where
so
Kate
when you wake
them.
Up in the morning and you put the...
What?
She might have been packing a bag for Dits. Yeah. You never know.
Mel?
I agree with you on this
Thank
one.
Thank you.
Oh,
Thank
Mel,
you.
Yeah.
Mel.
And I've been the culprit where I've moved stuff Danny really needed and I've put it away and... I did. I was the only one who knew where it went.
Mm.
And of course,
shouldn't
that's
do that, Mel.
Annoying.
Don't do that again.
I haven't.
Okay.
I've been corrected.
Good.
And sometimes the remote controls. This is the other one. Sorry, now you've
does
started.
Does it bug me?
My TV's complicated. You have to have three remotes to turn everything on, right? Because it's got sound.
You need new techs out there.
That
sort that out.
So one remote.
Yeah. So I sit on the lounge and I go, where are my three remotes? And I look up and they've gone somewhere. Takes me sometimes 20 minutes to get the TV on because I cannot
where
find...
Where are the remotes? Where's Kate?
Oh, in a drawer or something?
Maybe she doesn't want you... She wants you to chop wood or something instead of watching TV.
Righto, Alice the Wag, you've got our next topic. What's this you want to raise?
This is probably my favourite topic ever.
Right.
Okay, it's a new study out. And it says that about less than 66% of heterosexual women, so women that are with men, are regularly satisfied in the bedroom, but more than 88% of lesbian relationships are satisfied, i.e. men are super, super selfish in bed.
Or don't know what they're doing.
One of the two.
Well, we just describe
well, who
selfish.
Are these 34% dits? Let's find them and expose them.
We all need to hook up with, we all need to hook up with a couple of lesbians is what I read into that. Describe selfish. What are we meant to do?
Like satisfy the girl before you get satisfied.
Oh, is it,
well, believe it or
concept.
Not, it can happen.
No way.
I haven't heard about doing that.
Hang on. Can I Google that?
But it's not even just in the bedroom. I feel like this study is just about everyday life. Like, men are just more selfish.
I think,
girls just know how to please girls, and they know what to say. They know what to do.
Feelings. Tell you what,
it's just
how about
so
you all
good.
Go and move in together then?
Yeah.
And we'll just pop in once a week.
We'll just
all
come
right?
pick up the keys every day. <then. laughs>
You won't be able to find them, though.
Kath, what's your response to this?
Ruth's so happy about this. Yeah, he's so excited about living with his mates.
Idea.
I find everything very satisfying, actually.
It
doesn't bother me.
Who's cooking tonight, Dick?
Yeah.
Catherine?
Well, I'm very happy in my relationship, so that's a bit boring, isn't it? So, but you know what? When you speak to women that are in a relationship with another woman,
they say,
well, what I've read, they say that they're very happy because a woman just understands. And when
that makes actually, sense,
this
doesn't
is
it?
A bit weird, but when I have read an article about like a woman, it was recently a woman writing about how she was married for 20 years and then ended up befriending another woman in her workplace and they got together and whatever. And when she was saying that she was very satisfied everywhere, like in the house, emotionally, as a partner.
Well, that's
and,
good.
Well, I kind of thought, well,
you're
maybe
try
it wouldn't
too.
Be too bad.
You're about to get married, Kat.
Oh, she was not. I shouldn't have said that.
Right, Andy, if you're listening, mate, your wedding night is going to be a cracker.
I actually told him about it. He said, did you want another woman in our... He was quite happy. Did you want another woman in our relationship?
He's wrapped.
Mel, the button pusher.
Yeah, not for him. Yeah. For you. No complaints here.
Righto.
Oh, Danny.
Danny.
See, Mel arrives every morning with a big smile on
his face. Right. Danny, man, we're in that too.
Righto.
66 dits. We know what we're doing.
Yeah. All right. Thanks, Angels.
See you, Angels.
Thank you.
Ruined dits for breakfast. 104.7 Triple M.
Rue, they reckon 40,000 people heading down to the track today.
Yeah, they'll be revved up. They've been looking forward to this for just shy of 12 months to get back down to the Clipsal V8s and fire up again. And one man who'll be he'll be a lot hotter than 36 degrees when he's in his car is Will Davison. And he joins us now. Good morning, Will.
Hey, good morning, guys.
How hot does it get in the car when you're driving if it's, say, 36 degrees under the tree?
Oh, it's going to be, it's going to be pretty brutal. But if it's, if it's 36, it's going to be 25 above that. So it's going to be well over 60, in the mid-60s in the cockpit. So
Bernard Tomic could have no hope. He'd be gone before you even get out of pit straight.
Yeah,
it's going to be survival of the fittest, I reckon. I think it's cooling off a little bit on the weekend, but it's not going to be easy, but it's all good.
Yeah, just wind the window down. Get a bit of air in the car.
Trust me, sometimes I just get it's perspex, windscreens, and you can't wind them down. So sometimes I'll just punch it out and you're in trouble.
Now, Will, we heard you speak yesterday at the Carbine Club lunch. You did a great job. Yeah.
How did it all end up there?
That was good. Yeah, we got home. Anyway, we won't talk about that. It ended up well. Now, Will, you were talking about the speed of cars, and we met the new driver, Silvana Di Silvestro, who's come out from Switzerland, the first female full-time driver on this circuit, which is amazing. But you were talking about the speeds that perhaps she had driven in America. We were blown away by that.
Yeah, I mean, Simona's the real deal. I remember watching her a couple of years ago in IndyCar, and, I was like, she's out there on merit. You know, she's a top driver, best female driver in the world, and
she's the best in the world.
I would say that. Gee. She's genuinely IndyCar's massively competitive, and she's up there mixing it with the best of the best in the top five on many occasions in IndyCar. But Indy 500 on quite a few occasions. My cousin's been in that race, and that's just absolutely the most dangerous, fastest racing you'll do in the world. Going the oval there, and they're averaging 380k an hour.
380?
What do you get up to down the straight in Adelaide?
Yeah, well, exactly. I mean, we're probably 250, 260. I mean,
50% faster.
It's a very, very different style of racing, you know, oval racing. Yeah, there's a lot of even top F1 drivers. Michael Schumacher famously said it. Mark Webber, I mean, they all said, you'd never catch me doing the Indy 500, you know.
It looks sort dangerous. Of when you watch it, it doesn't look like they're going that fast. It looks like it's quite easy to control, but obviously from what you're saying, it's...
No, definitely not. Maybe in a qualifying lap on their own, they're wide open all the way around, but you stick them in traffic and, you know, a lot of turbulence and dirty air and a lot of marbles offline, and that's, you're seeing the huge accidents every year in that style of racing.
I noticed it's called supercars now. Beforehand, it was V8 supercars. Why the change? What's happened there?
Yeah, I mean, I'd say strategically, just slowly remove the V8 from there, you know, about a year ago now, just to, get in line with it being supercars, keeping the brand and the logo, and just sort of trying to emphasise that going forward, it's not going to be solely V8, you know, and there's a lot of, obviously, a little bit of people that aren't happy about that, but at the end of the day, they're traditionalists, and you've got to move with the times, you know. Formula One's been V8, V10, V12s, and now they're V6 hybrids, and it's just moving with the times. The main thing is the cars will be fast. They'll, you know, next year there could be a V6 out there, turbo, there'll be V8s as well, and it'll be, yeah, listen, they're going to look the same and be, if not quicker.
So the advent of Mercedes, Volvo, Nissan, do you think, has it been successful, and are we going to see more of those manufacturers moving forward then?
Yeah, we hope so. I think, you know, this is a big rule change now for 2018 going forwards, and 2013 was possibly, you know, it all happened a bit quick when it went to the new regulations and Nissan and Volvo came in, and Mercedes in a private way came in with Betty Clemenko and Erebus. She was very passionate to bring that brand in, and now they've gone full circle, and Erebus is back in Holden. The Mercs are parked, gathering dust in a factory somewhere in Melbourne. And, you know, it's all about the rules that these manufacturers are allowed to use, and that's where there was a little bit of confusion a couple of years ago, and now they're allowing them to use an engine that's probably more relevant as to what they sell on the road every day. So, yeah, fresh new start next year, and trying to go with the times, trying to go with what manufacturers want, but also want to give the fans what they want. So, I think it should be all good.
All right, well, Will, thanks for talking to us, mate, and we're right behind you this weekend. You sounded confident yesterday, and if it's hot and it comes down to endurance, I reckon you're the man, because we spoke about this yesterday. You got the job done at Bathurst, so I reckon this is right up your alley here in Adelaide this weekend.
Make sure you got enough fuel.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
Good on you, Will.
No, looking forward to it. Don't know about overly confident, but super, super pumped.
Well done, Will.
Will Davison from Techno Sports, the Techno team, and very impressive. I always say this, Roo, the V8 supercar drivers, we heard three of them speak yesterday at lunch. Gee, they're good, aren't they?
Yeah, they really know how to handle the media and
sell their sport beautifully.
They do sell it well.
Roo and Dits for breakfast. 104.7. Triple M.
Roo, big story this morning. Our immigration minister, Peter Dutton, wants to change the laws.
He does.
And in fact, he's going to change the law. He's basically saying that our fast food outlets have to stop sponsoring overseas workers who then in turn come here and take our kids' jobs.
Yeah.
Now,
457 visas, you can apply them and get them to come over, fly in and work here, and then if they're no longer required, go home. But at the moment in Australia, we've got rising unemployment in our youth area. So he wants to do something about it.
So what he's saying is that all of our kids, now yours will be teenagers in 5 years' time, roughly, all of your kids, and normally they'd get a job, like mine did, and like everyone listening, the same. You go down to the local supermarket, or you say, go down to the local McDonald's or Hungry Jack's or KFC, the pizza place, Domino's, see if you can get a job down there part-time after school. And that's what happens. Now, I said to you earlier this morning, and I mean this, Pauline Hanson basically said this 10, 15 years ago, and she was called a monster. This is what her policies have been about. And yet when she says it, she's terrible. She's a horrible person. Now Peter Dutton and the Liberal government in power are saying the same thing. So do we agree with this or not?
Well, I actually agree with what they're saying in this instance. I think if there's jobs here to be had for Australian kids, well, then they should have a good crack at getting it. If we need to fly in people to go to remote areas, if there's not jobs in certain country areas at all, then we need to bring them in. But if it's in Adelaide and we've got enough people here that want these jobs. Well, we shouldn't be sponsoring people to come in to take that particular job. I think there's a time and a place for it, and a certain type of job, e.g. if there's not enough chefs in Australia,
yep,
and we need to bring in people that can do that role, well, they'll bring them in if they're specialised for a certain thing, but not if they're making hamburgers.
I was always led to believe that a 457 visa was for shortages in the workplace. So we bring people in, as you just explained.
Specific areas.
So if we can't fill those jobs. However, we can fill the hamburg flippers and the pizza makers with our own kids.
Well, okay.
No doubt about that.
Why are the fast food people doing? Are they more reliable, the people coming in? Do they not take sickies? Do they not whinge when they're at work? Mm. I don't know. Maybe that's the reason why they're doing it.
All right.
Maybe some of our people are lazy. Maybe they've had a guts full of that. I don't know. Or is it cheaper for them to do that? To bring these people in on 457s. I'm not actually sure how that works for fast food and visas, but...
it's actually quite involved. I mean, I think you've done this with a chef. It's actually quite complicated to bring in a 457 worker. It's not easy.
Well, it's a commitment. Yeah. It certainly wasn't cheaper for us when we did it. And you have to do it, I think it's 3 years or 4 years, did. So it's a commitment.
Mm.
Yeah, so you have to do it. It's not Mickey Mouse.
I just want to point out, Roo, when I mentioned Pauline Hanson, it's always divisive. There are those out there that absolutely loathe the woman, and there are those out there that say, yes, she's on the right track. I believe in immigration. I believe in we need to have a social conscience. If there's a war-torn country or if our neighbours are in trouble, I believe you help and you bring in refugees. I've got no drama with that. I think it's our duty.
Yep.
But in this instance, I'm on her side when she says, make sure our kids are employed before we start bringing in thousands of others.
So you're on Peter. You think Peter Dutton's doing is the right call?
Yep. What do our listeners think? 133353. Should our kids be getting all of these jobs first? I think it's a no-brainer, quite seriously, Roo.
Yeah, I agree too on this one.
All right, give us a ring. 133353. What do you think about Peter Dutton's new rules?
104.7 Triple M.
8:18 it is on this Thursday morning. 37 degrees, sorry, 36 today. At the moment, it's 24 degrees.
Let's go to Clarence Gardens. Jeff, what's your thoughts on not allowing 457 visas to run or work in fast food outlets?
Good morning, boys. I think it's completely wrong, but the garage around the corner for me, I went like every Sunday, I go around and get the paper, and I went there and they're saying, oh, we won't be here anymore. The two, one guy that done the midnight shift and the other lady that took over at 6 o'clock. The company that have taken over only employ Indian students.
What shop are you talking about?
So, beg your pardon?
What place are you talking about?
It's a service station on Crossroads.
Service station, yep.
And I said, well, you know, that can't be right, you know, and because these people have been there for 10 years that I know of.
Mm.
And anyway, that's what happened. They were gone.
Mm. Yep.
Okay. I wonder if it was bought by an Indian family or an Indian company. But to have a policy to say we're only employing Indian students is a bit strange.
Yeah.
What a thought.
Probably not allowed to do that, are you?
Don't think so.
G'day, Neville. What do you think?
Yeah, g'day, mate. Look, I do support what Dutton says. It's probably about the only thing I support of what he says. Having said that, though, I reckon we need to draw a bit of a distinction with Pauline Hanson and what she said 15 years ago, because her comments around the 457 visas was about Asians invading our country. So she had a pretty strong racist type of bent there, and then was talking about, you know, our young people's jobs. So I totally agree. We need to give absolute every leg up possible for our young people, whether they want to work or not. They can't be competing with others. But let's keep Pauline Hanson out of this one. That's what we think.
Let's go to Nova Gardens. G'day, Graham.
G'day, mate. How are you? Boys?
Yeah, what do you think?
I think it's, in this day and age, it's absolutely ridiculous. You've got places like Coke and Holden closing down, but I'll go further than that. I had all my pipes replaced out in my street. They were all Irish. I went out and had a yarn to them, and they were all Irish, had work visas from Ireland. The only specialty worker there was the guy from Australia that was welding the pipes together.
Yeah.
I mean, it's just all lacking.
So they're all on visas working for a company, you're saying?
Yeah, well, I don't know. Well, they're out place of whoever's placing all the pipes. Absolutely. I couldn't believe it. And I said, they were just directing traffic, you know, just sweeping and all that, you know.
You reckon they're on short-term visas?
Yeah, they are.
They hadn't moved there for good?
No, they're all on short-term visas. A couple of them said they're going to apply for citizenship.
But, yeah, that's interesting, isn't it?
All right, thanks, Graham.
Let's go to Dernan Court. G'day, Mark.
How you going?
Good, Mark.
I'm glad this one came up. Years ago, Pauline Hanson brought it up and she got discriminated, calling racist, and it would be a lot better if they did get kicked out of these jobs, because a lot of Australians, which can use the work, and it would also even, you could even scrap the Centrelink for people who just on it just to get by and that don't want to work, and then they'd have no excuse now because there'd be jobs out there to get.
Yeah, I don't know how many jobs are in this area, and I don't think they're talking about hundreds of thousands or anything
like
that.
There's a lot of outlets, Roo, a lot of fast food places around the country.
Yeah, but I don't know how many visas there are working in those areas, but, you know, obviously more the merrier. Let's go to Hope Valley. G'day, Dave.
Yeah, g'day, boys. How are you going?
Good, Dave.
I just want to say I agree with what Peter Dutton wants to do, because both my boys worked at McDonald's from about the age of 15. Mm-hmm. And they got up early in the morning. They did the early shift. They did the late shift, and gave them a great work ethic, mm-hmm. and set them up basically for the rest of their lives, other career paths. And places like McDonald's are actually held in high regard by other employers, so it gave them a leg up there.
Yeah, fantastic. So,
they learn good systems there, don't they?
Yeah, good results.
Yeah, oh, they do. Yeah, and mm-hmm. they taught to work and it sets them up. So, yeah, young people need that first leg up in life, and that's what it...
All right.
Good work, Dave.
Yeah, good positive call to finish on.
Well, no one's against it.
No, I don't think so.
They're too scared to call.
Don't miss a minute of Ruined Dits for Breakfast on our catch-up podcast for Rossdale Homes, because trust is a must. RossdaleHomes.com.au 104.7 Triple M.